Chapter 70. Yes. Agnes, sitting on the seat before me, in the same box, with a lady and gentleman beside her, whom I didn't know. I see her face now, better than I did then, I dare say, with its indelible look of regret and wonder turned upon me. Agnes. ... I said, thickly, Lorblesmer. Agnes. ... Hush. Pray. ... She answered, I could not conceive why. You disturb the company. Look at the stage. ... I tried, on her injunction, to fix it, and to hear something of what was going on there, but quite in vain. I looked at her again by and by, and saw her shrink into her corner, and put her gloved hand to her forehead. Agnes. ... I said. Hermaphrodiarinner well. ... Yes, yes. Do not mind me, Trotwood. ... She returned. Listen. Are you going away soon? ... Amigarasu? ... I repeated. Yes. ... I had a stupid intention of replying that I was going to wait, to hand her downstairs. I suppose I expressed it, somehow, for after she had looked at me attentively for a little while, she appeared to understand, and replied in a low tone. I know you will do as I ask you, if I tell you I am very earnest in it. Go away now, Trotwood, for my sake, and ask your friends to take you home. ... She had so far improved me, for the time, that though I was angry with her, I felt ashamed, and with a short query. ... which I intended for good night. ... got up and went away. They followed, and I stepped at once out of the box door into my bedroom, where only Steerforth was with me, helping me to undress, and where I was by turns telling him that Agnes was my sister, and adjuring him to bring the corkscrew, that I might open another bottle of wine. How somebody, lying in my bed, lay saying and doing all this over again, at cross purposes, in a feverish dream all night the bed a rocking sea, that was never still. How, as that somebody slowly settled down into myself, did I begin to parch, and feel as if my outer covering of skin were a hard board, my tongue the bottom of an empty kettle, furred with long service, and burning up over a slow fire, the palms of my hands, hot plates of metal which no ice could cool. But the agony of mind, the remorse, and shame I felt when I became conscious next day, my horror of having committed 1,000 offenses I had forgotten, and which nothing could ever expiate my recollection of that indelible look which Agnes had given me the torturing impossibility of communicating with her, not knowing, beast that I was, how she came to be in London, or where she stayed, my disgust of the very sight of the room where the revel had been held, my racking head, the smell of smoke, the sight of glasses, the impossibility of going out, or even getting up. Oh, what a day it was! Oh, what an evening, when I sat down by my fire to a basin of mutton broth, dimpled all over with fat, and thought I was going the way of my predecessor, and should succeed to his dismal story as well as to his chambers, and had half a mind to rush express to Dover and reveal all. What an evening, when Mrs. Krupp, coming in to take away the broth basin, produced one kidney on a cheese plate as the entire remains of yesterday's feast, and I was really inclined to fall upon her nankeen breast and say, in heartfelt penitence, oh, Mrs. Krupp, never mind the broken meats. I am very miserable. ... Only that I doubted, even at that pass, if Mrs. Krupp were quite the sort of woman to confide in. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.